Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. 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 Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality, with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 6th, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly here as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly service, we have a number of other educational programs. We have a couple of schools, metaphysicsinstitute.org, that offers bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics and related categories. Also, Thomas Francis University at tfuniversity.org, which offers standalone metaphysical courses and degrees. We have Paranexus.org, an association of anomalous researchers, EmpoweredRecovery.com, which offers help for the friends and families of alcoholics and addicts, and this weekly program. And everything we do is about education. I'd like to read our abbreviated principles of belief. There are nine of them. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number two, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Three, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Four, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Five, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Six, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read these expanded principles of belief, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome all those joining us live tonight, as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you spending your time, a little part of your evening with us, or daytime, whatever. Depends on where you're at in the world, I guess. But we appreciate it. Good to see so many in the chat room as well. Tonight, the topic we're going to talk about is how to be more human. And you might be thinking, well, that's interesting. How do I be more human? And the context with which I'm talking about here is perhaps how to be more humane, huh? How to be more human, the good qualities that human beings possess. How do we do more of that? And I've talked about this on this program before, you know, riding my bike. I ride to exercise. I've been riding a lot lately, almost every day, trying to do, you know, between 10 and 15 miles. And I pass a lot of people. And one of the things I do is I count how many people I pass each day. Just, you know, gives me something to think about because I'm not listening to audio or anything as I'm riding. But, you know, and I'm passing anywhere from a dozen to two or three dozen people, you know, a day. And I say hello to everybody I can. Good morning. Try to be cheerful. Try to be upbuilding and all that. And it just fascinates me to this day, the responses that I get. And I was thinking about this yesterday too. I do every day, you know, the majority of people will reply and say good morning or something like that. Some people are very cheerful about it. Some will smile. Others will absolutely ignore me. Joggers are good for that. You know, they're apparently in their own world doing their own thing and they just ignore me. But, most people will say something, and then there are other people that just ignore me, or are so wrapped up in themselves that they don't even notice. And so, you know, from a psychological point of view, this just fascinates me where everybody's coming from, you know? And so it got me thinking about that concept of not being so wrapped up in ourselves, in our own world, in our own problems, in our own selves, that we forget about the world around us, that we forget some of those human kindnesses, those good manners, the good mornings, the good days, the thank you, the please, and all that stuff. And that's what I wanted to kind of remind everybody about tonight, how to be more human. Well, to be more human, be more personable, be more down to earth, be kinder. Remember that life is not all about us and it's not all about them. It's about all of us together, you know. And so remember the people around you, because every single one of us, frankly, even though we're unique, we're kind of the same. We're all wondering, you know, what's this thing called life? What's it all about? Where did it all come from? You know, what's our role in it? You know, what position are we playing? Where are we headed? You know, are we going to get where we want to go? Are we going to achieve and realize our goals and dreams? You know, how do we fix this problem? How do I pay the bills at the end of the month? All of these fears and worries and concerns, they're common to everybody in one way or another. And so we have to remember that everybody's kind of that way. So the one way, one of the ways that we could be more human is to offer that good word, that encouraging word, that uplifting word, that good morning, if nothing else, and a smile when appropriate. That's one of the ways that we can be more human. And by doing that, we're raising our awareness, because that's another way to be more human, to be aware of others' plights, not only of our own, but others, and realizing that it's not all about us individually. It's about everybody working together. Any thoughts or comments, Dr. Hunter?
Well, I think it's about developing your culture and where you live, because honestly, where I live, it's really common for people to say good morning. People go on walks and they say hi to each other. And it's a smaller community, 40,000 people, you know, and after a while kind of you see the familiar faces all the time. But go for a walk in the park, everybody says good morning or good afternoon, and unless there's too many people. But I think it's a culture thing. I think that in certain cultures, and what I mean by that, I'm not talking a religious culture or so on. I'm talking about your town, you know, your community, and the culture of the workplace, the culture of your community. And it only takes one to start to change the culture, the environment. Mm-hmm. And when one starts it, others start to, but it has to be repeated a few times, you know. Mm-hmm. It's you know, when my kids were really young, I got really tired of them going to birthday parties and having to buy birthday cards all the time. So I had them, I said, why don't you start making birthday cards? Oh, Mom, nobody does that. I said, well, it's got to start somewhere. Well, I kid you not, within 3 months, everybody was competing for who could make the coolest birthday card. And that's what I mean. You can start a trend. And in most, in a lot of places these days, people are fearful. People are worried. They're, you know, got their stresses and, you know, head to the pavement kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it put your head up, you know, and walking straight. And I think that makes a big difference in how you feel about yourself. So it's checking in with your body, you know, walking comfortably, confidently, and looking ahead, you know, in that place of comfort and no fear. And, you know, if you do happen to glance at somebody, say, oh, good morning, and, you know, carry on your way. And that's that interaction. But for the most part, I've been to a lot of places, they don't do that. And it's really off-putting when somebody does it. And I kind of giggle to myself, as, oh, they didn't count on that good morning. Mm-hmm. You know? But again, it just takes one to start that domino effect and to start a new trend and to start that sociability again. So, but I know exactly what you're saying, because I've been to lots of places where, man, they are not social.
Yeah, and that doesn't have to be. I remember this very, very clearly. I grew up in Denver, And when I was 19, we moved to the Black Hills, South Dakota. I moved with my parents and family. And, you know, grew up in Denver and, you know, big city. And when I got to South Dakota, you know, it was a beautiful area. The Black Hills are beautiful. And the people were different. And, I mean, you're in your neighborhood and you're just driving out of the neighborhood to go somewhere. And, you know, if there are people on the street or even other cars, they wave at each other all the time. Everybody's waving at everybody. I'm thinking, wow, it just blew my mind. And I got in the habit of doing that. And I still do it to this day. And I basically waved, you know, especially neighbors and people like that. I'm waving. I don't wave to everybody that I pass on the road. But, you know, but when you're in close proximity in the same neighborhood or whatever, I'm waving to them. And it's just part of being friendly and part of being that more human and understanding that we're all in this boat together. We're all trying to figure it out. We all have our stresses and our problems and our adversities and our challenges and whatnot. And sometimes, you know, it takes so much effort, so many resources, emotional resources, to fight that all the time. So why not just relax and let go and greet and be that personal, you know, work, tell people good morning, and, you know, and even if, you know, somebody said, you know, if you feel crappy and people say, well, how are you, you know, say unbelievable, because it covers it both ways, right? So we can still be, you know, that way, be upbuilding and be personable and grow in our awareness and remember. And basically what we're saying here is, don't be selfish, you know, give of yourself and of your energy and it will come back to you. Just like Dr. Hunter was saying, you start something. And another thing we don't realize, most of us, is however we respond to people, we send a message. And even in this way of, you know, a good morning, if, you know, if somebody says good morning to us and we ignore them or we say it back, or everything about that sends a message. I can tell about a person's psychological makeup in the way they respond to that. Some people will go, oh, good morning, you know, very cheerful and, oh, okay, they've got their stuff together. Other people are looking at me, you know, what are you, you know, the neighborhood creep or whatever. Well, that's their stuff, not my stuff, right? Other people just ignore me. Well, they're wrapped up in their own world. You know, that's, you can tell so much about people just from that. So, Michael, do you have any comments you'd like to make?
No, I think that what you said is absolutely correct, because it tells you a lot about their personal character and makeup, and a lot about the culture. And we've kind of touched on this, that it's, you know, a lot, it's dependent on your culture about how you greet strangers passing by. I'd read in a travel article some things that Americans have noticed traveling abroad, and one is that a traveler in the
I think Sorry we've lost that. Your...
A traveler in the United Kingdom, excuse me, had noticed that whenever, you know, he would greet people on the street, they seemed a little taken aback by it, and a friend told them that strangers don't really greet each other that often. It's, you know, they think you're trying to steal or scam from them. And, you know, that's just one account, but I know in a lot of big cities, it's also less common to greet each other. There's, you know, some safety concerns sure. and things there, which is really a shame, but it's all about, you know, starting that trend, as Dr. Hunter said, you know, being the first person in the area to do it. Because if you're going to, it's unfortunate that people live in fear and nobody should ever have to, and we're all going to work to try to build a better world. And part of that, in perhaps a small but I think significant way, is having that ability to greet each other on the street, have that little amount of compassion and decency to just acknowledge each other as human beings, even though you're total strangers. I think that goes a long way in that direction. So,
well, and I think you mentioned a good point. Obviously, we always use discretion on who we speak to and who we smile at and all that. So you always got to use good judgment in anything you do. Just want to put that disclaimer out there. You know, but by and large, the people we're around every day at work or, you know, in the neighborhood or whatnot, it we can do that. So those are just a few suggestions, a few things that I wanted to get out there and remind everyone of, you know, just be Be real. Be a real live human being. Care about yourself. Care about your family. Care about others. Leave them with a good word, an encouraging word, and it can be something as simple as good morning, that kind of thing. All right, if you'd like a card pulled from our inner oracle card deck, please put your name in the chat room. And to start us off tonight, I've had an email request for a card being pulled from a recent graduate, Dr. Leonard from the UK. He just graduated a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Lynn, and he's asked for a card. He unfortunately lost his wife a couple of months ago, and anyway, he's a nice guy. He's worked with children, teaching, and other things, and my heart goes out to him. So, Dr. Hunter, would you mind pulling a card for Dr. Lynn?
As you were talking, I was visualizing Dr. Leonard, at least his name, and I pulled a card, and it's number 45. Inspiration, motivation. And, you know, our thoughts are with you, Dr. Lynn, as you go through these big changes in your life. And so I'll read this to you. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy. I would, if I may, share something that I, when I work with people experiencing grief or radical change or trauma, any of these things, it can throw us into, you know, a different state. And so if I may, I just share this. When the emotion surfaces, let it come. But look at the clock and say, 10 minutes, go. You need to cry. You need to vent. You need to feel anger. You need to feel and go through an emotional process. Just let her go. And at the end of that 10 minutes, say, okay, I'm going to go do something else. Now, if it wants to go for longer than 10 minutes, fair enough. And let it go for another 5 minutes. But if you feel that that emotional welling is just feeling kind of unmanageable, there's also chemicals that get released into the brain and body, and it just requires you to lay down for 5-10 minutes. But if you can stay with the 10-minute measure, you're maintaining management of your emotions, still getting through the day. You might have to do this, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 times in a day of that 10 minute of allowing yourself to experience what you're going through. But then you'll move that energy. Oh, an hour later, it's come back again. Let it come out. Give it 10 minutes. And you'll find that it'll kind of slow down a little bit. Maybe 10 times in a day would go for, you might be doing twice a day in a month. There is no measure, or no one can tell you how to grieve, anybody to grieve. It's all very individualized. And so that formula of 10 minutes seems to be workable, and giving yourself whatever amount of time that you need. But it's where it's not paralyzing, it's not controlling your life. You're now moving through it, and you're the manager because you're staying conscious of that emotional time period. So if that helps anyone listening tonight, or excellent, you know, in the archives, it's just a kind of a trick to the brain, and we need that somehow. And giving ourselves a skill, a pattern, a discipline, if you will, so that we don't get kind of sucked into a vortex. It's so easy, and I can say this sincerely because I've been through loss, not with a spouse of many years, that's a very individual thing, but other losses where you got to ride and learn to live with the pain. It's never going to go away, never. It's learning to live peacefully with that pain and with that loss. So the 10-minute measure. So
rule. Good advice. All right. So
Jennifer. So I have not been paying any attention to the names in the chat room yet. Michael or Dr. Kelly, if you've been writing them down, who's first? And Michael, would you do that?
I'd be happy to. And Jennifer is first.
All right, Jennifer.
And I pulled number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. And this is absolutely one of my favorites. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all of the good things, the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
That's a good one. Good stuff.
It is. It is. Fran is next. You know, Fran has selected number 2 for the room tonight. And I, if you don't mind, I'm just going to inject with this because it's esteem and validation number 2. And just a little reminder to everybody, self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, so what others think. So let's check, that's a good one for all of us to remember. Thanks for that, Fran. Fran, I got number 22 for you. Think for yourself, and I know you do. We all do some measure, but again, these are little reminders, and maybe it's a situation or a conversation that you've had that, you know, could say, okay, wait a minute, think for yourself. So I'll just say this for the benefit of better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potential unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you'll sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth. And that's the key in that message. It's one's own truth. So however that might resonate with you tonight, Fran. So I think we have Wendy next, Michael.
And for Wendy, I pulled number 19, invoke the counselor within.
We haven't had that one in a long time.
Yeah, I think you're right. There are times to seek advice from others as a means of summoning your own truth, but the answers you seek lie deep within. Look there. This may be a time to remind yourself not to codependently surrender your power to anyone or anything outside of yourself. Always determine your own truth and live according to the path that is right for you.
Good.
You know? You really see a theme going throughout all of these cards, and that's really just being true to yourself and being independently minded and a critical thinker and living your own truth.
Well, and I think this one is going with the flow, too, for Nathan. I drew number 11, awareness.
Yeah, good.
So, you know, that's another powerful reminder. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. You know, and I think observation stuck out right there for me. Observing yourself as well as observing others, which is what we were talking about, even riding your bike and waving to people, you're being aware and, you know, it's kind of awake to everything. So, yeah, observing.
You know, Fran made a comment that number 22 has been chasing her for the past 2 weeks. It's been popping up everywhere. Wasn't that what you pulled for Fran, card number 22?
I did.
Yeah. Now, what do you make of that? I mean, that's interesting. And, you know, that's where the consciousness thing comes in. Go ahead. I just find it interesting.
No, I do too. And just because I find this site, this particular website, really interesting, is go to Angel Numbers. I can't remember her name off the top, but go to Google Angel Numbers, and this woman has this really cool site with esoterically, metaphysically, and philosophically, what these particular numbers showing up in her interpretation. I really appreciate that. So, Angel Numbers, and Angel Numbers 22, if you just Google that, and it'll take you right to that page. But I know I've been having duplicated numbers lately, the 1111, the 333, the 222, and I really think that's a link in a universal consciousness. And when it repeats like that, we're to pay attention. And it numerically or mathematically, it has an energy. Of course, we're learning what that might be, and not that we know. It's all theory, conjecture, but it works for me to. My study of number. Wendy's saying she loves numerology. I do too, Wendy. I love numbers. And so I go, that's an interesting vibe. That's an interesting energy that's showing up. So
what's interesting to me is, I could make a case. Okay, you see 1111 or 111 or whatever it is throughout the day or, for days. I could make a case that your subconscious is just picking up on that. But what becomes more difficult is the number 22 popping up everywhere. And all of a sudden, now it pops up somewhere completely out of the blue from an unexpected source, right? In other words, could it be coincidence, that you pull card 22? It could be. But as we've seen with these cards, there's just this thread, this undercurrent of collective consciousness going on that you don't expect to see with these cards. But once you get working them and working with them, all of a sudden things start popping up. And I can't explain that. I didn't expect that when we did these cards, and I was rather amazed when it started happening. So that's what I'm talking about. It gets less and less. It's more difficult to explain logically. So that's
well, that. Welcome to the metaphysical, mystical reality.
I should get into that more, huh? Yeah. All right, so I think we pulled all the cards we've got, right? Everybody who won
so.
A card, yeah. All right. Well, cool. And, and Wendy says, I bought a red car, so now I see more red cars. That's what I'm talking about. But then, when Dr. Hunter pulls a card that's 22, that's just interesting. Anyway, that's all I got to say about that. Folks, we've been through a lot of stuff we've talked about tonight, as usual. How to be more human, awareness, less selfishness, more building up, building commons, and being more human and personable and down to earth. We talked about inspiration, motivation, dealing with grief, being who you are, walking your own path, esteem and validation, thinking for yourself, invoking the counselor within, and awareness again in the cards. So hopefully some good reminders, some things you can pick up on and use in your day-to-day, and anyway, we can always do that. So we appreciate everybody's kind attention tonight. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael, as always. We look forward to seeing everybody again next week, and if you know someone who could benefit from this program, please let them know about it. Hopefully they'll come and join us as well, live or listen to the archives. So until next time, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.